Hello, this is Mike J, and welcome. I'm just toggling around here to see what I can see. I don't know why I pulled that up. I'll resume sharing. Okay, there we go. Luddite. I've never considered myself to be a Luddite because I'm always early adopter, but things are moving so fast and it's just hard to keep up with the changes every day, isn't it? Okay. Basic practical program, class three. Slow down, notice, help better. There's a reference card for you, just in case you haven't been here before. Those are the models that we're generally focused on during the practical. The class two mark is there. You can see that there. The index, for those of you that may not want to go incrementally and bounce around, see what's there. And then our visual diagram, let's take a look at that. Oh, that's nice. Aside from all that space at the top, it's looking pretty good. Okay, so we are concerned about importance, motivation, urgency, leverage, and low-hanging fruit. I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. Now, remember, I'm always let's see, coordinates with CCR UCA. That's one of the models on that reference card. What it stands for is just a reminder of culture, conditions, requirements. Those are all sort of subconscious filters that we automatically discern, like, let's get out of here, there's a tiger, or things like that. It's almost automatic. And then we just want to recognize that things are actually accelerating. Which is part of the reason it's easy for most of us to look like a Luddite. Volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous environments. So just important to remember that. Okay, thanks for that card. We could clean that up a little bit just with changing the way we either crop the image or spacing on there, but I love to see it. Thank you very much. Here is the dialogue. Actually, it's the response. In me talking with my AI assistant, and I chopped up all the feedback and just looked at core advice, which is a summary, because that's what I want to talk about. Less orientation, more basic practice. People who say that AI assistants are completely sycophantic and will not tell you when you're wrong. It's not really the case, especially if you've worked with one developing its memory and things like that over a course of time, because it does come back to me with feedback that is not necessarily sycophantic. Now, I do like the way it does it because it doesn't blame. It doesn't criticize too much. It just says, well, it doesn't say you're doing this. It just says we need to do more of this. So this is very helpful for me, actually, in my own development in terms of looking at, oh, how do you give feedback without making it so critical? And of course, not sycophantic either. Class two did useful setup. It toured the AAR, explained the report structure, corrected haiku and my team language, introduced the IMO visual, restated why L through 9-11 matters, gave a short anything important today, simple demo. It also said clearly that future classes should have less front-end material, more practice. Okay, for class three, I would advise this structure: teach one basic distinction, exact word cueing before interpretation, keep the learner focused on one thing, listen for the person being helped word, give it back simply, let them continue. That continues the class one correction around a starting place and reinforces the class two demo around simple. Suggested class three flow: start with a short reorientation. Today we're going to stay basic, one small opening, one short cue, one form, one lesson. Then use a three exchange demo. And since it volunteered this, I will go ahead and point out. Gosh, I would point out what we probably want to do different and still teach the same thing that we're trying to teach, which is Being able to select a high leverage word or phrase that the person has already said, which is already tied to thoughts and sequences of models that are not necessarily being showcased, but they must be there in order for the person to say what they said. And one thing I wanted to say in the last session is one of the re reasons that I was able to get very good. Well, I didn't see the IMAL score for this time. That's interesting because I was counting on seeing that because I'm sure that the assistant missed the idea that by choosing a high leverage word or phrase and mirroring that back, stating it back in those exact words, don't interpret it, that you cover leverage in the process. You also tend indirectly to get to the low-hanging fruit, but you can see that I actually did that in the last session anyway. So let's look at this example. Now, this example already sets up the selectivity. In other words, we don't use this system of inquiry all the time, or people think that we're interrogating them. They may even think that we're a robot. It sounds robotic. In fact, even in this particular session, I'm going to caution you never to use a person's word back unless it has a real pattern and it has a lot of leverage and it combines motivation and importance, then you can do it. But if it doesn't, don't do it. So that's one of the learnings here. Do not just repeat back what people say. Select the most important, high leverage, maybe a baby step later on to suggest it, but do not keep doing what it's doing, even in a training sequence. So let's look at what happened here. Person being helped. Now, again, this is an ongoing interaction or ongoing a conversation. So you're not seeing the before and you're not seeing the after. We're just taking out the little bubble to teach with in terms of the selectivity of the dynamic inquiry system skills experience. Okay. I feel behind. Again, the helper. I would have much rather had the AI assistant put pause and breathe in parentheses there so that you get the idea that when you're going to repeat something back, do not go in quickly. I feel behind. Behind? Don't do that. And the reason is it's a pace issue, number one. Number two is if you want to work at the subconscious level and bring the subconscious story and narrative out, do not go fast because, especially if you're working with an introvert and they're working off scripts, which is basically the outer function lieutenant, then what will happen is that the lieutenant will just go fast. They won't take a moment and deliberate. So you have to model that. So we would want, I feel behind, pause and breathe, behind. That's the way it would work. Okay. And then the person, hopefully, if they come right back, then you know that they're going to probably script you because when I say the thing that they said with leverage, that obviously has leverage or they would not have used it. So it's almost like going into their kitchen and they're using a tool and you use the same tool, which they're already familiar with, which means then you sync up, you connect right quick in that particular case, and you don't disconnect. It's really important not to disconnect. It's also important when the person is giving emotion or feeling or something like that you ha give them the chance to maybe add additional. And the way you do that is with pace. You slow it down. You pause and breathe. That's the most important thing you can do to have people switch out of the tit for that ping pong playing tennis game that you get into in conversations, especially when the world is accelerating. I feel behind. Behind? In other words, it shows you're listening
And it also shows that you're deliberating too, which is what you want to model back to them. Because remember, this all came about because of the opportunity for not transaction, the opportunity to do something more than transact, the opportunity to develop, the opportunity to teach fishing, not line up to get fish. So again, all those pieces come in here. In order to meet them where they are, you're going to have to let them get there. They will not, by nature, be where they are because they will be trying to match up to where you are. That's what people do, naturally. They do. That's a syncing mechanism, a mirror neuron thing that people come up and they try to match to the system because it provides the path of least resistance most of the time. And if you don't know, and you're asking somebody who knows more than you to help you, you will certainly do that. And then if you're working with someone who tends to know more than you, whether it's a vertical, oblique, lateral KSEs or time, in other words, they have time in the bucket, they have maturity, they have wisdom, and you're working with that type of person or being helped by that type of person, you're going to automatically match up to them. So we got to be careful with that phenomena so that we begin to let the person know that it's okay to be who they are and to settle into that and then to talk from there. Not people won't always do that because there's not trust established yet in most cases. In a lot of cases, it can be because if you have an ongoing relationship with the person, if you establish trust over time, that works. Okay. Yes. Okay. I feel behind. Yes. Most people tend to answer it yes or no. And then you do not, because of pace, jump right in. They will almost always come back and explain it because the yes or no is a response to a closed question, even though the question itself could be very much an open question. In this case, it's not necessarily a closed question. It's just recognizing something that they said, something that they're connected to. We try to connect with that. Yes, like I'm all ready, late, before I start. Now, remember, these kinds of things, when they come back, I know this is practice, and I know the assistant was just doing an example, but these cliches, these scripts, they often become scripts. And you will learn all these scripts that we have and use all the time. How are you? I'm fine. How are you? You know, that's script. That's not reasoning. That's not deliberating. That's not being reflective. Nothing. It's scripted. Most of our lives are all scripted already. And if you don't want to just do scripts, then the dynamic inquiry system skills experience will provide you with an opportunity to learn ways to encourage the scripting to go to the background. It'll never disappear, but it goes to the background. Yes, like I'm already late before I start. Now, here's the mistake that's made. The helper says already late. But wait a minute. You have already used their language, the exact language, in the exchange before. You do not, unless it has all of IMAL ready for you. In this particular case, it does not. It's helping the person go down the road, but it's not IMAL necessarily. So we don't want to do it. So if you see that cue, yes, I'm already late before I start. Don't take the bait and use what they said and flip it back. Yes, it's easy. I understand that. And when you're just learning things, it's somewhat comforting to be able to know what to do. But in this particular case, I'm going to substitute this and don't do it twice unless you have IMO. Okay. I'm going to say this. Yes. Like I'm already late before I start. Pause and breathe, because whenever you ask this question, you want it to be in the space between, not the space inside of what they're already thinking, because you're asking, you're disrupting them. You know, what's important is actually a perturb rather than just a ping, even though it uses transactional language. We allow it, because there is something important. This is organizational work. And even when you're working with people outside of the organization and they're working in development, what's important? There must be something important. Go look for it out there. And then based on what they bring back into context, gives you a shot right quick, right up front at PCC. What's important? World peace. What's important? I need to get this done. See the difference in the two? There's a different level of thinking to go with both of the scripts. So in other words, one, world peace is an extremely complex thing, even though, all of our pageants have had the participants saying those things. Sorry, electrolytes. Okay. So here's the great learning. Don't use them back to back unless you're going for IMO. It's in other words, by doing it, you're gonna get it the whole enchilada. Don't do it. Otherwise, what's important? You could do. Is there something motivating? And I wouldn't even put you. I would not contextualize it. And I would. It's just a cue. Remember, cue, scaffolding, support, and lift. It's just a cue to get the person to continue giving story, continue to show you where they are, continue to give you narrative. So pause and breathe. Model that back. We're not in a hurry unless they say we are. Okay. Yes, like I'm already late before I start. Is this something that you need to do now? Again, the urgency cue. We already have leverage because we did the behind thing. And the next amount of leverage that we're going to get is to tie into, connect to what's important. Because essentially, the reason that the person probably is feeling behind is they've been doing other stuff. And it may not have been that important, but they get to check off their list. Remember, a lot of people want to check off their list because they feel like they're getting something done. And you got to remember that in general, productivity is only about 45%. In other words, about 45% of the time are you actually getting things done. The rest, other 55%, it's checking off lists. It's doing things that you thought mattered but really don't. It's not in purpose areas per se. That is, unless your purpose is to not be there. That could be that true. Person being helped in the next one. So again, we talked about that. Don't mirror back unless you got a shot at the whole enchilada. Otherwise, don't do it. It's interrogation. It makes the person think that you're not thinking. It also makes them think, in some cases, that you're not really listening, because when people think about being heard, they think about you are in connection with what they didn't say. That's what it's like to feel heard. Like, wow, you're right there with me. Even though I'm saying this and this and this, you're right there with me. And so the danger in becoming a robot or using too much of a tactic is that the strategy fails. And so I love the AI assistant for providing this example, because one, you have to understand it in the beginning. We're talking about training this entity to be able to do what it is I'm doing right now, and also be able to respond to people modeling S dis X. So that's an important part. The next phrase, let's go ahead and finish this little thing out, and then we'll get over and do a new one. That's it. I'm reacting to the feeling, not the task. And of course, if this said it, if in fact a person says this is quite high level of capability. Why? Because it's able to step away from the feeling and look at what the feeling is producing in the way of behavior and thoughts and feelings, and then come back, reorient, and then say, that's it. Okay, that's it means it's not connected with it anymore. It's of it, not in it. That, pointing at that, I'm reacting to the feeling, not the task. So that's a very, it's a very complex statement, because what it shows is that the person is not in it still. And of course, when people are in things, they don't know how to get out of them.
It's of it, which means that they have either been able to step away or do that. Now, you would never do this next response. Never. Then the first move may be noticing the feeling before choosing the task. This is complete interpretation and active listening. And I realize the AI assistant is trained on active listening, and it's trained to do this stuff. It's trained to complete thoughts. That's what its training is. So you got to understand the entity is doing next token work. But for one, when a person said something like this, you want to realize that you're working with something very complex and you don't want to interpret it all. In fact, you want to begin to look at how much potential there is for the person to solve their own problem. And when you say that's the person being helped says, that's it, I'm reacting to the feeling, not the task, then you might say, it's solved. In other words, what you wanted to get, the connection, clarification, and commitment to right action, what you wanted to get showed up. So don't keep going. Don't show how you are not getting it. Stay away from that interpretation. In other words, the person will look at you and say, oh, yeah, that's not helpful. They won't say that, but that's what their system will do because they're already showed that they got to the conclusion, that's it. I'm reacting to the feeling, not the task. Is it time to go to work now? Is that the first step you need? Does that clear things up? In other words, you don't over help. The person has already shown they have the capacity to step back, look at it, and say, oops, that's, yes, I'm feeling all those things. Yes, I'm already late by my start, but that's actually scripted. I know what's happening. That's it. I'm reactive feeling, not the task. Great place to close. In other words, don't over help. And the extroverts will tend to overhelp and overexplain and all that stuff. Just stop, which I'm going to do right now. Okay, what to teach after the exchange? Name only the basics. Well, we want to say that behind is by its nature a probe. Okay, it's also permission, a cue to permit the continuation of the thinking without doing what you have. It's also slightly a perturb. So you get, probe, permit, perturb. If you pause it, you'll get another combinatorial piece. Remember, in a lot of cases, I won't say in most, but in a lot of cases, when you combine the forms, you tend to get farther faster. Because they perform multiple functions. And when you offer a person options, you're going to hear me saying basics, don't say option. But when you offer a person options, their personality, their problems of their personality, their differences in their personality type, the differences in their worldviews, all that will tend to move in the direction of one of those forms. And because the forms, the options of the forms will choose them and then they will react from there. If you notice that, that's why you don't want too much on the table because these things are more complex and hard to notice. If you notice that, then you can log it away and say, oh, this is a bit of information, a bit of story, a bit of narrative telling us about the worldview. How, where do I go to meet them? I meet them somewhere close to this worldview. So again, that's going to be very helpful to you later on because when you say something like, is this a good place to close after the person finishes that highlighted task there, then you're going to know it's going to be okay because they're complex enough to take it and run with it. Whereas if someone had given you a response that shows that capacity is probably not that high and that the potential and capability is a lot lower, you have to go somewhere else because you have to meet them where they were in terms of not only PCC, but in terms of ready, willing, able, and fit, and all those other fitness things that we talk about. So that's the thing there. So form used, pretty much combinatorial. In the second one, we said what's important. So what's important is a ping. It's also a place to pause and breathe
and step back from things. Okay, you've got these feelings going on. Did what's important come in there? In other words, is that why you're feeling this? Oh yeah, I haven't been working on the important stuff. There's a lot of ways to work this. Stay close to the map. You don't know the territory. It's unseen. They're only going to reveal it maybe one or two steps at a time. So use the map to see where you are, and then begin to note where they respond and tell you where they are. Okay. We nixed the already late, but the form it was used was a probe. Remember, it can also be a perturb. I know perturb is tough, but at the same time, it can be disruptive because when you say behind, you're actually acknowledging what may be a negative construct or feeling. So that's how you disrupt that particular thing and let the person actually begin to tell you whether it's negative or whether it's just something that they noticed, like a signpost on the road or whatever. It doesn't really cut that deep or anything like that. So again, we told you about the combinatorial, but it's a probe because it's already tabled. When we say tabled, I feel behind. Behind uses exactly one word. Remember to pause and breathe ahead of time. Okay. Basic tool. The basic tool, basic, I wouldn't call it a tool. I'd call it a map. Maybe the map is a tool. I'm okay with that. Importance is present. I don't think it is. I think that's a misjudgment by the assistant. Motivation is implied. I don't think it's implied. You have to, in you're interpreting here. You don't want to interpret. If you interpret, you color the situation where you start listening to you and not listen to them. That's what interpretation is. You're taking it, running it through your meat grinder, out comes the end, and it's you, not them. Okay, we don't want to do that. Urgency may be felt, but not yet verified again in interpretation. You do not want to interpret. I would say that I feel behind has nothing to do with IMO at this point. So therefore I'm intervening. I'm saying what's important. Is there something motivating? I might say, do we need to get this done now? With a sophisticated client, I might even say, is there leverage somewhere? And of course, with someone that I don't know much very much about, I might even say, is there a single step? Do you have a plan? I mean, those kinds of things like that could come there. If you're thinking that the cue becomes scaffolding, we don't have support yet, but the support came from the cue and scaffolding. So there's a little bit of support there. The lift that comes because the person works at a more complex level is present in their statement. That's it. I'm reacting to feeling, not the task. Now, the lift was by them, not by you. But we can say, oh, look, cues, scaffolding, okay, support, maybe, lift. Oh, yeah, definitely lift. So, in other words, by leaving the person alone, they came to the conclusion that they can see what's going on, and you're done helping, and they're off to do whatever it is. Okay. Basic PCC RWF check. We talked about that earlier. Basically, right action. And we did talk about connection, clarification, and a commitment to right action. The next move is not catch up. It may be to notice what behind means. Yes. In which case, you would not say what the assistant said. You do not say things like this, in my view. I mean, you can do that, but you've now taken over. In other words, you don't know what the first move, even though you say then and suppose it, you've got referent power. When you have referent power, the person looks to you and subtly and subconsciously, you're in the lead if you provide something like this. You don't want to do that because you got the person in a great place. Let's not take them away from there. First move may be noticing the feeling before choosing the snap. I often tell people, I spent, and I'm still in coaching, and I've been doing it for longer than I need to say I have, and because I did it badly at first. But over a period of time, I always saw that you do not help or coach or train as deep as you can. Now, I admit that I'm in my teaching process going too deep for some of you, but there's a continuum of you that may be seeing this material. Therefore, for some of you, it may be overly complicated, confusing, out of order, too abstract. For others, it may say, oh, yeah, I knew all that stuff before. I kind of wanted some of these other ideas. Thanks for those. You know, so we're not just looking at L9 through L11, but we are trying to present the program in a basic way that L9 and L11, who have not encountered anything like this before, will not freak out and run away with their hair on fire, per se. Okay, my AI assistant will say I'm saying too many things again. So again, basic right action note, the next right move is not catch up. It may be to notice what behind means, but I don't think that you should say it that way, because that's the first stage of interpretation. In other words, you don't know what it means. So it may be notice how the other person thinks behind means, and to do that, you would probably need to inquire. So do not interpret. If you interpret, it's about you. It's about you. What not to do in class three. Let me see how many rules I broke already. Do not go too far to haiku, pidum, MHS history, Harvard developmental models, or advanced APC architecture. I didn't do that too much. Those are helpful, but class three should provide that basic program, can stay basic. Avoid too many examples. One clean example, well debriefed, is better. Yeah, I suppose. Okay, basic S, dis, X begins when the helper stops improving the person's word and starts listening to them, which, by the way, the example did not necessarily, after the first exchange, did not necessarily do that. So let's jump over here. I'll just jump right into this and see what happens. Let me keep practicing my microphone. Is there something that you want to talk about? Now, I didn't tell it to get ready or anything, but I just did it. But this is a pretty smart assistant. Okay, so it picked up with what we did when the prior section actually gave the close. So here I'm going to teach you something basic that's probably not in our list, but we call these things the wonders. Okay, I won't put it into the chat because it'll confuse the assistant as to what I want. I will stay with this right here. And what I'm going to say is, since I don't want to get involved in what this thing is thinking, I do want to hear it tell me what it thinks so I can model back whether or not where we are and where it is and all that sort of stuff. But I don't have enough information here, and it's obviously picked up the last time, which then it's doing, you can see these things. Logically, it would have said, is there something you want to talk about after we close the other session? It would think it's being a new session, but they don't reason like that. So in this particular case, I'll take what we've got and do. Notice it said maybe something about how the close happened before we tried to add more. Now watch this. I'll type it in. Now, what did I do? Very simple. Less is more cue. I just cued it to continue to say things, because remember, it's modeling back to me, less is more too. So in other words, we've got sort of a dual system going on here. And the close protected the example. It stopped the exchange before it came too much to teach clearly. Okay, watch this. Are you okay with that? Let's see if we can get a quick completion here. Okay, so I'll show you the how and is expanding. But not everyone is expanding. Some types expand because they solve problems by taking in information through perception, either through the network of intuition or through their senses. Okay, so some types solve problems by taking in information. Other types avoid taking in information because it gives them too much noise around contracting the other, expanding this one, contracting the information it does have into a conclusion, because the way these types solve problems is to draw conclusions, and then those conclusions become new data, and the process goes along the ladder of inference again. I don't know that we talked about it that much, Chris Argyris, Donald Schoen. I think in a book, 1974 or so, it's a professional effectiveness or something like that. Oh, it's a super book. It's out of print, except at George Washington, because that's where I got my last copy of it, way back, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. But the idea was, is they promoted this thing called the ladder of inference. Data, the bottom rung, perception, perception of the data, judgment of the perception of the data, conclusion. So we have some types working at the bottom part of the letter in a loop that's called data perception, data perception, data perception, never getting to the point to where they have to go up the ladder per se, unless they're cued or something cues them or pressure increases. That's usually something that comes with it. Pressure increases to draw a conclusion. So they'll just loop and loop and loop. And the others will do the same thing. They will refuse to take in new information and data, and they won't pay attention to perception, but they want to judge the information and draw a conclusion. And they stay in that judgment conclusion loop where the new data becomes their old conclusion. So in other words, they can feed a sense of logic very easily because their conclusion becomes the new data. They don't have to go down into data perception and question that. So it's a very interesting thing. And I think this is one of the things that my AI assistant told me not to do. But this is so critical. And you can handle this. You can handle these differences with two simple words. Okay. The first one was and. Expand. It check to see if you solve problems by expanding. And the next one is this. Can you sew it together? Okay, are you a sewer? Can you pull things together and say this is what it is? So the basic lesson may be, okay, there's a good chance that the assistant probably acts more like a J than a P. A good close can protect the learning. It doesn't have to finish everything. It only needs to stop at the point where the move's clear enough to notice. Okay, so it's gave me its conclusion there. We don't want to extend this too much farther. I'm just showing you, and I love doing this because it evokes from me all the things that I've learned that I can impart to you. This thing about expanding and contracting, using and so. I should say to you, do not ever use and in a sentence. Don't ever use so in a sentence. No, no, no. Use them and so separately. Otherwise, you begin to do something that we call substituting your capability for theirs, because you're doing and interpretation. So interpretation. Well, that's you. You don't want you. You want to see if they can and expand. Maybe they can't, and they reveal that they're not, and then you come back. You don't have to use them right next to each other like I'm doing. I'm just trying to give an example of the points, give you the model of ladder of inference, which is so critical to understand about where people are in that ladder. And the fact that I throw one more thing in the ladder of inference, Argyris talked about verifiable data, which means if someone else looks at this, hears it, sees it, they will come to exactly the same conclusion as everybody else. That's verified data. Okay. Most people do not verify data. Most people take the data, especially when it's their conclusion, they take the data and use that as verifiable data, and it's not verified. So very important for that. Argyris gave us wonderful gifts in terms of this particular approach and model. And he's no longer here, but thanks so much for allowing us to stand on your shoulders. Okay. What we have here, if you look at the meta position here, it's saying this is closed. It's talking about the fact that the other one was closed. And it's talking about it in a way that it's closed. So I did the so, it did the and, You don't always use them together, but I just want to show you them in an example. And now I'm going to acknowledge the close. And I'll do it with my voice. Is this a good place to close? Okay, so there you got it. Yes, and I mean it's almost like the AI assistant can't be like a human because it has to be like its neural net and its weights and all that sort of stuff. It's pre-programmed, pre-trained, next token. You know, it in the way it talks back to us and stuff like that. We anthropomorphize it, thinking it's like a human, which is why it's so cool. At the same time, it's not human at all. In other words, it's just doing next token stuff, and you can pick that up here. And you want to know where it is? Well, it's there. It's not where humans are. Okay, but it makes for good practice because it elicits from me all the interesting things that I can talk about. The lesson stayed small, close, protect the example, preserve the training. And that goes back to my earlier point. Remember where I said don't overhelp? Don't coach or train or help as deep as you can. Recognize this is why I was so adamant about people seeing the selective dynamic inquiry system skills as an experience. In other words, it does not take much to create an experience that will stick with people and stick with you. So you can imagine going forward the opportunities that we may have with these AI assistants to remember us from last time. Remember, I hadn't talked to it since yesterday, and I didn't give it any context. And I just basically came in and said, "Is there something to talk about?" I don't even think I said important, did I? Let me see. Is there something that you want to talk about? Now, I get to see I'm all fashioned in the answer. And then I know where it is, sort of. Something, okay, something. It didn't say exactly something about how the close happened before we tried to add more. And so I thought, oh, yeah, this is a good place to do and so. And remember, this is a check-in. You know, you check in. Are you okay with that? And then it comes back and says, yes, the clothes fit the purpose. Okay. The purpose is basically still not, the purpose is still undefined, but it's okay if it wants to say that that's a purpose. Then I can highlight in my own mind, okay, there's a purpose floating around. We might want to find out what that is. And then it protected the basic lesson instead of stretching into a bigger explanation. Ah, that's something about the purpose. Okay, so then I use that other place to go. And then remember, I didn't, there was enough there that this is fine for basic. In other words, the experience can be, you know, I remember one time that we had a bunch of people with an executive, the CEO. And he was giving a presentation to these people who it really mattered that they hear what he said. And he did that, and they heard it, and they take notes, and they, you know, are not commonly questioning the CEO. And the CEO sat down, and we all got to the point where everybody was okay with what was said and stuff like that. And then in a moment where there was a brief sort of space, I said, "Is there something you're afraid of?" to the CEO, because that was an opening for me to get the CEO in a disarmed place, finish the presentation, everybody's cool, to say something important. That was an experience. That experience, that one form, one word ping about he'd never said anything about fear, never said anything about afraid. Nobody else did or anything like that. Totally a ping. then the answers that came from that, I won't tell you because it's confidential, but at the same time, the answers that came from that created an experience, not only for him, not only for me as an observer, but for the rest of the people as well. And it told them what was Zymol. And the answer was less than 5 words. In fact, I think it was 2 words, maybe three. So this reinforces the idea that these exchanges, these experiences can be very short, but they can be very meaningful because it's almost like a person. They're going along the road and the road has disappeared. It had a ground fault. It went somewhere, the bridge is out, whatever, and they need to get here. And sometimes just that help to get from here to here are the thing that people need. And that's why inquiry can be so helpful, because you work with them where they are on this side to help them get to where they are on this side, which then by them doing that actually seeded the work that the other people knew was IMO. So very, very important part. I'm going to quit here. You can tell this stuff kind of excites me. I love sharing it because it's taken a long time to understand it. And it can be complex, but I would like to think that we can get to simplicity on the other side of complexity. And that's an important part of this process when we begin to start to listen differently and hear things differently and then respond accordingly, using a system that is about less is more, using a system that allows us to use IMO-MAP, understand ready, willing, able, and fit, get the three competencies that you need in working with anybody, the connection, the clarification, and the commitment to right action. All those things fit, especially in a world that's governed by CCR ad VUCA. It's a very noisy, very difficult world right now for people to function in, even at less sophisticated levels of complexity. So I'm Mike J. This is the Leadership Learning Lab around SDSX experiences in a basic format. Hope to see you back.